amended. It's on the board if you want to refamiliarize yourself with it. Also, anyone on the council wishing to amend or further discuss the scoping document? Anyone in the audience? Yes, sir, in the front row.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon Viola. I do the general scoping, but now if you're going to go with this, you want to make it a closed fishery, and you're going to take the state landings and let them go into it before you have sectors, it's not going to really work because your states have different size limits than the federal on as far as the boats and whatnot. So if somebody buys a permit, say that it was landed on in a state sector, then you come along 2 years later and say, we're going to do the sectors and chase his landings back to be a state landings, and he's got a boat that's over 60 feet. He can't fish in state waters where his landings were, where the history originated. What does he do with that permit that he bought? Does anybody know?
Well, I think you're referring to the amendment that went into the scoping document to, that dealt specifically with the Northern Gulf of Maine area and including state landings into the landings database or the counting of landings in that area. Just to be clear, this is a scoping document, which means that we're going out to the public and asking them what they think about several items that we have contained in the document. And so your comments to that issue would be appropriate in the scoping document. So if you have concerns about how this applies to the general category fishery, which I think was the beginning of your question,
right?
That would be the time that you would, you know, either go to the public meeting that's going to be in Portland, I think, in April or May, or you have a chance to write a letter to us to explain to us that you think we've missed something here, or you're not sure how we're going to do this without doing that. As to your specific question, I can't answer it. If somebody else on the council feels comfortable answering your question, I don't think anyone does. But I'm sorry, I can't answer your question, sir. I'm not familiar enough with that specific issue that you've raised.
Well, it's something you have to look at before you can close the fishery and say we're selling permits to this guy, that guy, and this guy. Because if I go buy a permit from a guy that originated his history in state waters, my boat's over 60 feet, and then you come down with sectors 2 years from now, that permit is useless. Who am I going to come back after? The guy that sold it to me or the council that let it go through without investigating it before they went into a closed fishery and made it for sale? Who would I go to?
I'm not sure. Honestly, not sure what the state rules are. What state are you from?
Every state has different rules.
Right.
Massachusetts says theirs is 62 feet.
Yep.
If you're over 62 feet, you can't go in the state waters. You know, every state has different rules, you know.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys have taken that into consideration before you decided you're going to go with what you're going to go with.
This issue on the Northern Gulf of Maine, including state landings,
right,
doesn't have anything to do with what happened in Amendment 11.
It's got everything to do with it.
Paul.
Mr. Chairman, we approved sectors in Amendment 11 for general category. So he's right. So if we're now going to talk about adding state landings with federally permitted vessels as part of the equation, some new quota, then what are we going to do with, just like Pat mentioned earlier, what are we going to do with the state quota with state licenses only, with sectors? So as we develop, I don't know when we're going to do it, but these are issues for sectors that we won't have for limited access now, but he's right. So as we develop, if that gets passed and we talk about this new twist on state landings by federal vessels, we'll have to talk about how that impacts the regulations we already approved for general category. We're going to have to talk about it and resolve it.
I think it should be something that's resolved before you go with this limited access, letting guys sell their permits, and because you get a guy that I've been contacted by people that have trying to sell permits, and they're all state land, and 90% of it's state landed shell in shell, which is another thing. You know, you got in shell versus shucked. How do you know? Has anybody determined any of this?
Danny Rice, did you want to respond to that question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick note that it's all to be considered, but the motion pending before the council probably would pass in the right direction and relieve some of that pressure for the time being. I mean, the gentleman brings up a good point, but that is what his point says to me, that maybe we ought to put the sectors off for a little while we get work through some of this other stuff and make a much cleaner process in the end. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, but if
so, in other words, what we're going to do now is develop alternative. If at the end of scoping, we look at that motion about federal vessels landing state scallops on a federal permit or whatever, that's going to create some issues that we're going to resolve after scoping. So we're going to develop alternatives to be real clear to you over the next 6 months. But right now, we don't know what those alternatives are. It might mean that only federally landed scallops or that state landed scallops from state vessels cannot join sectors. That might be what we decide, but we don't know yet. We've got to develop those alternatives. And once we come up with those alternatives and we approve our plan, then you'll know which permits to buy or not. But if you do it now, you're only speculating. We haven't resolved it yet.
Right. That's why I'm asking, because I would think you'd need to do that before you close the fishery off so that people know who's in and, you know if they're in or not. If you do it after you close the fishery off, they got a permit that could be a latent permit, and they don't know it. And how do you figure that one out?
I feel like you're talking about issues that are part of Amendment 11, the action that we already passed. Whether or not a vessel qualifies for a limited access general category scallop permit. That was Amendment 11.
Yes, but you've said now that you want to allow the state sectors to be in on the equation.
But that
wasn't mentioned in the first part.
This
now
is
you're
the
bringing
future.
A new part into the ballgame.
This is a question as to, in the future, do we want to try to get better information by combining state landings from state fisheries and the federal landings as well? In the northern Gulf of Maine, we didn't have good information.
Well, but that's not our problem, that you didn't have the information.
No, it was our problem when we dealt with it in Amendment 11. That's how we dealt with it.
I don't understand how you can come back afterwards. You know, you close off the fishery, but then you want to come back afterwards and allow these other state in northern Gulf of Maine to come into it. It's kind of adding to a closed fishery after you've closed it.
Yeah. Okay, so I've heard your concern. I don't think anyone at this table can answer you today.
Well,
this isn't a final decision. This is a decision to go out to the public and ask these questions.
Okay.
So you will have an opportunity to go to the meeting in New Bedford or Portland or wherever they are and make those comments. And, again, you can write to the council. You can attend the scallop committee meeting as well, or committee meetings.
Well, that's where you get me. I don't have time to sit at the meetings. I have to go fishing. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Jeff Pike.
Thank you, John. My name is Jeff Pike, and I appear before you today on behalf of the Scallop Capacity Reduction Coalition, which is almost 100 full-time limited access active fishing permits. I first wanted to thank the PDT, the advisors, and the committee for putting together the draft scoping document. The coalition's singular purpose is to rationalize the fishery through capacity reduction so that harvesting capacity can more closely track with resource productivity. Rationalization measures for the limited access fishery were identified by the council as one of the primary four original scoping issues. Yet it received little attention at the Oversight Committee meeting, at least according to the report that we received. Our members have spent a lot of time considering what measures would be effective in reducing the number of vessels, improving safety, stabilizing the fishery, and maintaining healthy businesses and jobs. And we will actively participate in the scoping process and provide this council with much more details. One only has to look at New Bedford Harbor to realize there's simply too many boats. According to the Harbor Commission, there are 68 official berths for 350 vessels homeported there and another 120 transient vessels. Our highest priority today is for the council to approve Amendment 15 as quickly as possible with measures that will enable our vessel owners to reduce capacity immediately. We suggest the most effective way to do this is by allowing for the transfer of limited access permits from one vessel to another. The entire permit would be transferred so that one vessel may have up to two permits assigned to it. It could fish all the days at sea and trips assigned to both permits. We do not support creating jumbo permits, as has been done in other fisheries, because that would create yet another class of permits among the limited access permit holders. Of course, baseline restrictions now in place would continue to apply, as would all Amendment 10 mortality controls. We strongly prefer this approach to leasing, although we do support leasing. By being able to transfer an entire permit to another vessel, it would allow the vessel owners to eliminate the steel, eliminate the platform, which is not something that the traditional leasing concept allows a vessel owner to do. We are aware of the gimmicks employed in the groundfish fishery to assign a permit to a skiff and then lease it days at sea. This is wasteful, disingenuous, and pretty silly, frankly. Finally, given the fact that implementation is scheduled for March 2011 at the earliest, and we have another three full years without a rationalization mechanism, we would request that ITQs be deleted from Amendment 15 in the scoping document. Many of us support this approach, but we're very concerned that Amendment 15 would be delayed in significant amount by including ITQs. We think that once the kinks have been worked out with respect to how one goes about to implement an ITQ program, that this option should be considered in some future action. Thank you, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, back to the council. Anything further from the council? Dr. Pierce.
Regarding issues 1 and issue 4, specifically, 4 is revision of overfishing definition to make it more area-based. And the logic as to why this is being offered up is provided. However, I think we can all benefit from a little bit more insight from the committee regarding why it feels that this sort of definition that, of course, was developed a while ago, but now we're bringing it forward again, you know, why does this particular definition conform with the likely National Standard Number 1 guidelines? Did the committee get some preliminary guidance from anyone from the National Marine Fisheries Service regarding whether this might fly. And I raise it, again, in the context of number one, because number one, it's compliance with new Magnuson requirements for ACLs and AMs. It seems that they overlap a bit. So that's my question.
Dave, you comfortable fielding those questions, or Deirdre?
With Deirdre in the room, I feel more comfortable. And if DeVore were here, I'd feel even more comfortable. How they fit into ACLs and AMs, I guess, you know, my view is it would be more consistent with how it's done with virtually every other species I can think of, the time averaged as opposed to area averaged. And the issue the PDT, you know, pointed out is that when you use area averaged fishing mortality rates, you invariably end up with overfishing in the open areas. You're going to end up with fishing well beyond FMAX in the open areas, and that's not consistent with achieving MSY. Now, there may be more that Deirdre can add to that, but that's the essence of how I see it.
If I may, by time average, you mean within a year, not over a series of years? It is over a series of years. Okay. So if you would, Deirdre.
Yeah, sure, David. Also, I would point out document number 2 is a PDT meeting summary, and on page 2 and 3 of that document, the PDT had a meeting on January 10th, and this is the main topic that we talked about, kind of reminding everyone on the PDT why this was an important issue. We discussed some of the reasons why it wasn't originally adopted and so forth, and the PDT definitely still feels it is an important modification to consider. There are concerns that still exist definitely among the industry, and those will develop through scoping and the document itself. And we have a lot more information now with a new SARC that we didn't have before. But in general, I don't know if they're as linked as meaning issue 4 and issue 1 as you were describing, in terms of whatever overfishing definition is used, the current one, or if we modify it, that won't really completely affect how we determine ACLs and everything. That would, you know, we'd still have to go through that process. In general, the PDT, without a long explanation, is just concerned about the current overfishing definition and some of the issues that Dave kind of just went through, and the fact that we're having overfishing issues in the open areas because of the way it's set up right now, and we want to try to reduce F in those open areas to maintain a more stable long-term yield from the fishery overall. And there are some drawbacks with the way that we have it set up right now. Unless you want me, is that enough?
That helps, especially you're referring me to the plan development team report. They do devote a lot of time to it. And as you say, they're supporting this approach. Consequently, I guess it makes sense to keep it in. Thank you.
Anything further from the council? Dave Cathel.
Yeah, on number 7, this doesn't really rise to the level of a motion, even maybe more on the lines of adding a third bullet to the questions. The Research Steering Committee's heard a number of times that the research seems to always end up being basically stock assessment driven, and that there are some other research questions that researchers would like to explore with this money. You know, things like, say, I don't know, a number of things have been brought up, predator-prey relationships, you know, creating a uniform scallop bag that you wouldn't have to weigh, things like that. And I just wonder if we wanted to add another question to those lines. You know, do we want to do research other than stock assessment-related research with the research set-aside money? Because the question has been asked quite a few times, and we haven't really answered it.
Deirdre.
Just to clarify, Dave, the RSA, currently the PDT identifies about a dozen issues that we recommend for the committee to approve, and all those issues you just described are actually included now. Currently, there aren't as many proposals that focus on them, but definitely each year we do get non-stock assessment proposals that come in. I'd have to check exactly how the funding has been going lately. It's probably pretty close to half being going to assessment, maybe a little bit more than that. But some fraction is always going to other kinds of things like habitat work and bycatch and gear design and things like that. So there, right now there's nothing specific to say how it should be divided up. This bullet was included as an example. Back in Amendment 10, there actually was some initiative to divide it more formally so that half would be spent on assessment and half would be on other things. So this is the only one that was, you know, from Amendment 10, but certainly there are other issues that are currently, you know, in the bucket. We just don't get as many proposals to do that type of work.
Right. I guess I just like to see somehow the question asked maybe a little bit differently or something. So people, I'm not sure from reading the bullet what it is you're asking them to comment on in terms of, you know, in other words, do you want it formally dedicated to stock assessments only? Do you want it split between stock assessments and other things such as gear research or market development or whatever? I think the question needs to be asked in a way that people will be able to understand how to answer it. You know, I'm just a little confused reading it as to how I would answer it.
Anything further? Okay. We have a main motion as amended. Ready for the question? Paul Howard.
I was going to ask, is anyone going to take up the last speaker on the IFQ program by actually voting this in for scoping? Remember, we're just not going out to the public to say, do you want us to do IFQs? We're saying we're going to develop an IFQ program. What are your inputs on that? Or are we going to come back and then decide what we're going to do after scoping? That's kind of like you have this argument twice. But, you know, so I think you can either do it again and take everything out after scoping, or because right now we can't do it. So, I don't know.
Anybody going to rise to that bait? John Nelson?
Man. I think that, you know, you're going to scoping. You're going to get comments on this. You're going to get comments on things that probably aren't even in the scoping document. You're going to go over the comments. And at that point, I think you do have that discussion of what ultimately are we going to do in this amendment based on the public input. And you may whittle it down to three. Who knows? I guess I wouldn't bet on that. But... but I think, Paul, I suspect that would be the way you're going to go. You're going to have that discussion on what ultimately you want to have in that amendment based on this public comment.
Are you going to come back, John, in June or October and help us with that?
We're having a scallop plate, you know. I probably could find my way back, Mr. Chairman. Oh, or whenever. When are you going to do it?
When's convenient for you?
You got a lot of sailing to do.
Actually, you can have all the time in the world, aren't you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything further? Okay, you ready for the question? This is to approve and forward out the scoping document. All those in favor, raise your hand. All right, 13. Opposed? 2 opposed. The motion carries. Got anything else under scallops, Dave or Deirdre?
That does it.
Okay. Thank you. Move right into the next agenda item.